Baruchim Abayim Rabotai. Welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. We are studying Parashat Naso. Parashat Naso is the longest parashah in the Torah, 176 Pesukim. There's no coincidence that we always read Naso after Shavuot. It's as if to say that now we got the Torah, so that if we want to show God, we'll take the biggest portion. We're not looking to get the smallest chilek. Give us the biggest piece you have, and we're ready to study it and learn it and to enjoy it. Parashat Naso is complete with many topics. One of the topics that we came to discuss tonight finds itself in Perek He. In Perek He, Vaydaber Adonai Moshe Lemor, Sabet Bnei Yisrael, command the people, Vishalehu min ha-mahane, send from the mahane, Kol tsarua, v'chol zav, v'chol tameh la-nefesh. So you have to remember that once we built the Mishkan, so the area around the Mishkan is holy. And the area around that is holy. And even around that, so there's three camps of Kiddushah. And if a person has a certain amount of Tum'ah, so he has to be banished from the camps. So the Pasuk is telling us you have to send out three different people. Called sarua. Sarua means somebody that has leprosy. Leprosy, as we learned earlier, was not a skin disease. It was a spiritual malady that would bring tum'ah, and you'd have to leave the camp. Bechol zav. Zav is somebody, a man or woman, that has a bodily fluid emission. That emission causes them to become tume'im. Bechol tamel nefesh. Or somebody that has corpse tum'ah. That means they came in contact with a dead body. The reason why it says this in this week's parasha, why is it mentioning about these three people? So the Ramban says, "Bishalehu min ha-machane, ahar shehekim et ha-mishkan." After the Mishkan was built, now you have these areas. Once you have these areas, you have to discuss who's allowed to be where. Siva b'shloach ha-teme'im min ha-machane, shiyeh ha-machane kadosh. The mahane, the camping, has to be holy. And for it to be holy, you cannot have these people that carry tum'ah. V'ra'ui sh'tishlebo shechinah. We want the shechinah to rest. V'him mitzvah nuheget miyad u'dorot. Fine. The Kli Yakar comes along and adds, and he says, why this order? Why sarua zav kol tamel nefesh? So he says, because the tsarua is the worst out of the three. He has to be sent out of three mahanot. Out of the three camps. The Zav is sent out of two camps. And the Tameh Met is sent out of one camp. So therefore it's giving you one of each style. Sarua, Zav, Tameh LaNefesh. Okay, fine. The Ramban then continues his thought. Right after this parasha, we read about the very dramatic parasha, which is really the theme of tonight's talk. Vaydaber Adonai Moshe Lemor, Daber el Bnei Yisrael, Ve'amarta Alehem, Ish Ish Ki Teste Ishto, the Sota. I'll review what that scenario is. That's referring to a lady that her husband has suspicion that she committed maybe illicit relationship, maybe adultery, he's not sure. And therefore the Torah tells us the process. We're going to learn the process tonight because the process is very important. So the Ramban questions, why is Sota in this week's parasha? We're talking about Vishalehu min ha-machane, kol tsarua, v'chol zav, v'chol tameh la-nefesh. Why does Sota follow that? Everybody always asks the question, why is Nazir next to Sota? But we're asking a question before that. Why is Sota next to these three guys that you have to kick out of the machane? So the Ramban answers that as well. The Ramban writes, and I quote, it's in Pasuk Vav, and he says, the od, ba'avur shi'yihesed ta'am levet abotam. Last week's parashat Bamidbar, we counted the families, and we counted them based on their fathers, levet abotam. Natan lahem dat vadin, Lada'at ha-mamzerim. So now you need to know who the mamzerim are. Because if a person, ladies, is sota, So that means her child really comes from a different father. So therefore, the Ramban says, "She'enam b'nei ba'ale imotam k'asher yavo hashad b'lev ha'ish al ishto." And therefore, he says, we're cleaning house over here. So you got to get rid of the sarua, you got to get rid of the zab, you got to get rid of the tamim, and you got to get rid of the mamzerim also, which means we're filtering out all the questionable people or personalities in Klal Yisrael and move them out of the mahane. So we have to identify them. So therefore, the pasuk writes the parasha of Sota. So tonight, Abotai, is that a shame if we're lucky? Maybe we'll see another connection between the tsarua, the zav, the tamin hanefesh, and the sota. But let's go to the sota. We're going to learn it together. The bit of Bnei Israel. Speak to the people. And the pasuk writes, Ve'amarta elim, ish ish, ki teste ishto. Now, right away, we have a question. The double language, ish ish. Why does it say ish ish? Why is it twice? No, a person has a husband, he has a wife. So why does it say ish ish ki teste ishto? There's no two husbands over here. So that she comes along and says the lamidcha to teach you. Shemoelet b'shtay. Her rebelliousness is against two ishes. Be'ish milchama shelemarla, ve'isha milemata. God is also called Adonai ish milchama. That when the lady commits this act of adultery, or even this act of immodesty, so she's committing a crime against two ishes. Number one, ish lema'ala, God, because the Torah says, lo tin'af, don't commit adultery, that's the law of God. And she's committing infidelity against the husband. So the crime is double. It's ish ish. And then the pasuk says, ki teste ishto ma'ala bo ma'al. And then the pasuk says, well, we don't know, we don't have witnesses to what she did. So the Torah says, he has to bring her to the Beit HaMikdash. Ve'vi ha'ish et ishto el ha'kohen. Ve'vi et korbanan. She brings a korban. What's the korban that she brings? Kemach se'orim. She brings kemach se'orim. She brings a flour made out of barley. So that she says, why barley? In the Beit HaMikdash, we only bring wheat. Very rarely do we bring barley. So that she comes along and says, ve'lo chitim. He asta ma'ase behema, the korbana ma'achal behema. She acted like an animal. Animals have no fidelity. Animals hefker, they do what they want. She's living like an animal. Oh, question is asked. We don't know if she's guilty yet, but she's still guilty because she was secluded with the man, which means to review the case, this is a lady that was secluded with another man, not a husband. And we don't know what she did behind closed doors. For all we know, she was learning that for Yomi. We don't know exactly. Probably not. But the point is that if they were learning, they were learning Masichet Sota, which means Halakha Lema'aseh. But the point is, since we don't know, she's guilty automatically. What are you doing secluded with a married man? So that's why you're ready. The Torah says she has to bring Kemah Se'un, because she's an animal already. You broke the Gedarim of Tzini'ut. But that goes further. When you bring this ma'achal behema, this animal fodder, lo yisok aleav shemen. You don't even add oil to it. Most of the meal offerings that were brought in the temple had oil on it. Not this one, the sheep. Shelo yehe korbanam mehudar. We don't want a korban to be mehudar, nice. Shehashemen karui or. Shemen is the source of light. Oil is a fuel that brings light. Vehi asta b'hoshech. And she committed her crime in the cloak of darkness. And therefore, midah keneged midah. She acted in darkness. She wasn't able to see her. Therefore, lo yiten aleha shemen. Furthermore, velo yiten alav levona. Every mincha used to get a spice. The spice was called frankincense. The Torah says, this mincha, dry. Lo yiten alav levona. Rashi, sha'imahot nikri'u levona. Our mothers, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, they called Levona. Shene'emar el Giv'ata Levona. That's the Shira Shirim refers to the Imahot as Levona. Vehi persham medarchehen. She veered from the ways of the Imahot. She didn't act like the Jewish mothers. And therefore, lo yiten alav Levona. So we're coming along and we're treating this lady over here, even before we decided what she is. we're treating her very, very strictly. I found the Midrash. The Midrash is in Tanhuma. Beautiful Midrash. Ish, ish. The Midrash is being dorished towards ish, ish. Lelamedcha shemo'elet bekoferet bishnayim. She's making a sin against two. Be'ish milchama shelema'ala u'be'isha shelemata. Like we said, she's committing a crime against God, the ish of above, and isha below. Amar la kadosh baruch hu. So God tells the sota, beishech at meshakeret. You can trick your husband. Shema bi at yechola leshaker. You think you can trick me? You fooled him. You can't fool me. And the Midrash gives a mashal. Leishu havush betoch shne batim. Ze lefnim mize. He's locked in the house, but there's two doors. There's an inner door. And there's an outer door, and he's trying to escape. Vayusham shne shomrim, and there's two guards guarding both doors. Ehad bifnim v'ehad b'chutz. One inside, one outside. Patach et apinimi. He was able to break the inner lock, and he was able to escape the inner door. V'lo hergish bo ha-shomer. The shomer was sleeping. Ba'al latzit ben ha-chitzon. Now he tried to penetrate the outer door. Hergish bo ha-shomer shebachitzon. The outer guard was standing there, ready, caught him. Tefaso, ve'amar lo, be'oto shebivifnim sachakta. You made a joke on the guy inside. Aval bi en ata yachol l'shok. You're not going to make a mockery out of me. Ve'chen ha-kadosh baruch hu omer le'isha ha-mina'efet. God says to the lady that committed adultery, be'ishech at misaheket. You want to play a joke on your husband, good luck to you. Aval bi en at yechola lishok. Ve'ani yoshev u'misahak al b'riyotai. God says, I always have the last laugh. Shne'emar yoshev b'shamayim yishak. God says, I'm in heaven. You can't escape me. And therefore, Borei Olam says, I'm the shomer ultimately. And therefore, I'm waiting by the door. You're not gonna be able to pass me. Good. Let's continue. We have over here a mincha that she brings. Rabbeinu Bachya has a big question. Seemingly, the laws of menachot are in the book of Vayikra. That's the laws of korbanot. So Rabbeinu Bachya says, seemingly the laws of sota should have been in the book of Vayikra. It's another type of korban. So what is it doing in Bamidbar? We don't have too many korbanot in Bamidbar. It's not the right book. So the Ramban, the Rav comes along and says, the reason why it's here, he says, because first of all, this is not considered a regular mincha. This is called the minchat maskeret avon. It's in order to shame her. It's in order to ridicule her. It's not a mincha of kapara. All the minachot in the book of Vayikra are atonement. This is not. This is maskeret avon. This is to deride her, to show ma'aseh behema. He acted like an animal. So he comes along and he writes Rabbeinu Bachya. It's called minhat kinaot. If you look at the language, he says, I'm reading the lashon. Ki minhat kinaot. Listen to the lashon now. Who? Ki minhat kinaot hu. Minhat zikaron maskeret avon. So if you look at the pasuk in Yudchet, he's calling. והעמיד הכהן את האישה לפני השם, ופרעת ראש האישה, ונתן על כפיה את מנחת, listen to the words, הזיכרון, מנחת כנאות היא. So the Rav says, וביד הכהן יהיו מהמרים המערערים. They take the מנחה, it's just bland, dry flour of seori, and the Kohen has in his hands water. The lashon is ubiyad hakohen yihyu mehamarim. So the Rav says, if you look at the words ubiyad, how does it start? Ubiyad with a vav. Hakohen he yihyu yud. The word before that, he ubiyad hakohen yihyu. Backwards. Again, minhat kenaot he. The hair, ubiyad is a vav, hakohen כהן זה ה, יהיו זה יוד. רבנו בעיה says, whenever you see a text with the name of Hashem, יוד כבבקה, written in the Hashem Tevot backwards, like you see in this pasuk over here, you know it's judgment. You know that something serious is about to happen. He says, Kevaru da'ticha, already I told you once before, שבכל מקום שתמצא שם מיוחד למפריע, in a text where you see the name of God backwards, like here you have, he, vav, he, yud, hu remez l'midat hadin. So the strict judgment is about to come. Furthermore, he says, if you count how many words they write on the parasha of Sota, before they erase it into the waters, like we're going to learn, they write 54 words. So he comes along and he says, where are they writing 54 words? He says, because if you take God's name of judgment, God's name of judgment is Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yud. The middle letters of that spells Dan. Dan means judgment, which is 54. So the Rabbeinu Ba'ya saw in this parasha already a great midat hadin that is going to come down on this lady, even if she didn't commit the crime, because she's guilty already because she broke the barriers of Siniut. Fine. Furthermore, the pasuk comes along and says that the Kohen, he takes an earthenware dish, an earthenware vessel, Kili Hayres. The Benu Bahia says, or that she says, why Kili Hayres? Normally in the Beit HaMikdash, we take gold, we take silver, especially the Beit HaMikdash is a palace. We don't use paper plates. And now, but suddenly, when it comes to the sota, what we ran out of dishes, Kili Hayres. So that she says, he hishketa et hanoef yayin mishubach bekosot mishubachim, lefichach teshte mayim amarim bemekeda bezuya shel Hayres. How did she commit her sin? The sin of adultery is over a cup of wine. She went to a fancy restaurant and had nice wine in a goblet. God says, you drank wine in the fancy goblet? Now you're going to drink the Mayim HaMaririm in a dirty vessel, a cheap, inferior vessel of Kili Hayres. Midah keneged midah. Says the Benu Ba'ya on this. V'im taskil etev. במה שאמר בכלי חרס, תמסה שיש בה רמז, שלא תזכה לקום עמו בתחיית המתים. What do you think? You think you can have resurrection? No. אך תהיה כחרס הנשבר שאין לו תקנה. ההלכה says, all vessels, when they break, you can fix them. Even glass, you can re-blow it. Metal, for sure, you can reform it. But when an earthenware vessel breaks, finished. The Shevira, you cannot make a tikkun. If she committed adultery, she's like a Kili Hayres. She does not have tikkun. Ad kidekat, the Benu Ba'ya said, she loses the Tehiyat HaMetim. Continue, Rabotai. We're just getting a flavor of what the parasha is. They go take water. Where do they get this water from? It says they get it from the kiyor. They get it from the sink. They had a special sink in the Beit HaMikdash, Kiyor. And from there, they used to draw the water in order to fill the cup to give it to the Sota to drink. So the Mefarshim are asking, why specifically do they have to get the waters from the Kiyor? So I found a Midrash on this as well. The Midrash comes along in Naso, this week's Parasha Perek Tet. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says to the Sota, Imotechem gadlu ben atemeim velo nechshedu. Your mothers lived in Egypt next to bad people, velo nechshedu. And they weren't suspected for any immoral behavior. Ve'atem gedaltem ben atehorim. And you were raised in the community amongst good people. V'nechshadtem lefichach yavo ma'ase yedehen shel otan shegadu ben atemeim v'ayu tehorot v'yibdeku v'yochichu lemi shegadal ben atehorim v'netmeu. Lachen ayu amayim menakiyot. Who was responsible for building the kiyor? The Jewish ladies. In Mitzrayim, the ladies had mirrors. And they donated those mirrors to the Beit HaMikdash. And Moshe Rabbeinu was hesitant at first to accept them until God said, accept them. And not only accept them, you're going to make a vessel out of them. It's the only vessel in the Mishkan that they didn't melt anything down. They took the actual mirrors themselves and they made the sink. Why? Because Borei Olam said, these mirrors are a badge of honor. They use their mirrors to make themselves appealing to their husbands, even though they lived in an immoral society. Eretz Mitzrayim is called Zima. It's a filthy land, Tu'avat Mitzrayim. And they use their mirrors for tzniut purposes. So the Midrash says, let these ladies who did not learn from their mothers, their mothers were in a bad society and behaved properly. And they, you so taught, live in a good society and behave improperly, go to the sink, let the sink rebuke you. So wherever the sota goes, she's getting a musar. She first gets the musar from the barley. She says, where's the oil? Oil? You did ma'aseh the dark, no oil for you. Where's the levona? Levona, the imahot are called levona. You're not like the mothers. You're contrary. You swayed away. And now she goes to the sink. Why the sink? The sink, because you didn't do what your mothers did. And you had a better society and a better environment. So all this is to degrade her. Because the purpose of the lady steps in youth. Oh, now what do? Torah comes along and says, they take the water. And they go to the Mishkan, to the floor of the Mishkan, or the Beit HaMikdash. And they take dirt. Afar. And they take this afar and they add it into the water. So now you have a mixture of two ingredients so far. Afar and mayim. And they mix it good. Then the Torah says, they write the parasha of Sotah. Those that are learning Daf Yomi, we learned it last week, that they used to, one of the ladies made, or one of the Kohanim donated a gold tablet. And Liha Malka donated a gold tablet for where the Kohanim would copy the parasha of Sotah on parchment. After they would copy it on parchment, it had Hashem's name on it, they would erase that into the waters. So the ingredients for the waters of Sotah are three ingredients. Very easy concoction. Water from the kiyor, afar from the ground, and the name of Hashem with a few other words. The Baal HaTorim questions this concoction. Why these ingredients? So he says, based on the Mishnah and Pirkei Avot, Akavya bin Mahalalel Omer. Akavya bin Mahalalel says, a person must remember, Histakel b'shlosha devarim. Remember three things. V'i ata ba'al yidei avera, and you'll never come to sin. If you keep these three things in front of you. Da ma'ayin ba'ata. Ul'an ata holech. V'lefne mi ata atid liten din v'hashbon. Know where you came from. Know where your destination is. And know who you're going to have to give reckoning in front of. And then he answers the questions. Ma'ayin ba'ata, where did you come from? From a putrid seed. You're going to go to a place of maggots and worms. Who are you going to have to give a day of reckoning to? If you keep those three things in front of your mind, says the Baal HaTorim, that we're coming to tell the lady, you did not keep these things in front of you. Ma'ayin bata tipasiruha, that's the water. The water is the reminder. Ma'ayin bata, it's like a putrid seed, the water. Ul'anata holech, limkom afar. That's the dirt. You didn't see where your future was. You got involved in your passion. And you forgot. Lifnemi ata atid niten din v'ashbon. That's why we put God's name in there. You forgot that one day you're going to have to stand in front of your maker. You're going to have to stand in front of your creator. And you're going to have to give reckoning. I'll read you the Lashon. The Baal HaTorim, he says incredible, he says beautiful. He writes, Lama Mayim Ve'afar V'Ktav. You have three things, Mayim, Afar, and Ktav, the writing. Mayim, Memakom Shebata. Afar, Memakom Sheholechet. Ktav, She'atida Liten Din Ve'Ashbon. That is going to be an accounting that's going to be taking place. good. That's the way he understands the ingredients. I saw a different explanation of the ingredients because I want to know the ingredients. It's very important. Why these three things specifically? I saw from Rabbi Sarutskin and Osnaim La Torah. He says a very, very beautiful explanation. His problem is when the Torah introduces the Sotah, Erbotai, we didn't start yet. This is just to get our feet wet to know what we're talking about. Then we can say the Hiddush that we came to say. I'll let you know when we're in Hiddush mode. This, most of the stuff I'm saying, I know you know already. But from year to year, we have to review it. If Sarotskin's question is, what's the double language? Ish, ish, ki, tistish, to ma'ala bo ma'al. Ma'ala bo ma'al. Means she was disloyal and disloyal. Sounds like she was disloyal twice. It should say, ma'ala bo, ma'ala bo ma'al. He's bothered by the double language. So he says, there's three partners in creation. The three partners that create every human being is the father, the mother, and Hashem. Every child is a composite of those three partners. The Gemara in Nida actually tells us that the mother gives certain parts of the body, the father gives other parts of the body, and the Gemara actually lists what each parent contributes. And then, of course, Hashem gives the life, the neshama. Now, initially, when Adam Rishon was created, there was no mother and no father. It was the mother and God was the father. So God donated all three parts himself. What were the three parts of the creation of Adam? So the Gemara says, God took earth from the ground. That's why Adam is called Adam, Lashon Adama. And what did he do with the earth? He mixed it with water. And once he mixed it with water, he made a model. But the model, like a mannequin, was lifeless. It never pulsed. God blew in the spirit of life. And therefore, Adam was made up of three parts. Afar, Mayim, and Neshama. Subsequently, when a human being is born, the mother and father, they give the afar and the mayim collectively. And God gives the neshama. So says Rav Sarutskin something incredible. This lady over here, she's in contempt of two partners. Two out of the three partners she was disloyal to. She's disloyal to her. To the husband, to the man part, and she's disloyal also to God. And therefore, she went against the two parts of the creation. And therefore, the Pasuk says, she's in contempt of the two parts, which means she's disloyal to her husband, and she's disloyal to Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? So he says, Borei Olam says, we're going to give you a vaccine. Borei Olam makes a composite of man. This drink is a composite of man. It's Afar, Mayim, and God. It has all the three ingredients. If she's innocent, she has antibodies, she'll drink it. That means she's a good human being. It will not have a negative effect on her. But if she's disloyal when she drinks the potion of man, if she's not behaving like a good man because she's ma'alab or ma'al, then already when she drinks it, it will have a negative effect. This drink can only be received by people that are Adam. But if she's not an Adam, then this becomes a poison to her. So she's drinking her own ingredients, that according to Rabbi Sarutskin. It's fine. That's why it comes to that. Why would she drink it? Because she is claiming that she's innocent. She doesn't either believe that it's going to work. That's what she really thinks. She says she's skeptical. She's skeptical for whatever reason. Listen, a lady that commits adultery, she's not one of the Lamed Vav Sadiqim, obviously. So, I mean, the lady that can do such a thing, obviously, is going to be skeptical of other things also. Come, that's right. You know the story. The Gemara then goes on to say, Gemara Sotah, Gemara says that Avraham Abinu Avos Shalom, he came along and said at one point in his career, Va'anuchi Afar Va'efer. He said, I'm Afar Va'efer. I'm nothing. I'm dirt and ashes. And God said to him, you said that you're afar va'efer. In the merit that you said you're afar va'efer, which is humility, I'm going to give you two mitzvot that are connected to afar and efer. And what are those two mitzvot? The afar of the sotah, because they take the dirt, they put it in the sotah, and the efer of the para aduma. There's a famous brisker rav on this gemara. The gemara says, first of all, what did Avraham Avinu mean afar ba'efer? Just say, I'm nothing, like Avraham, like Moshe Rabbeinu said. What is he comparing himself to afar ba'efer? And what's the midah keneged midah that God rewards him with these two mitzvot? So brisker rav said, beautiful. He said, afar has no past. The past of afar is afar. Afar has a future, but you plant in it, you grow in it. The afar has a future, but it has no past. Efer is the opposite. Efer has a past. It was a table. And then it got burnt. So therefore, efer, while it has a past, it doesn't have a future. So therefore, Avraham Avinu was saying, Anochi afar va'efer. I'm like afar, that whatever I did in the past, worthless. And I'm like efer, that whatever I'm going to do in the future is not going to be enough. So therefore, Avraham Avinu compared himself to the past of afar and to the future of efer. So God said, in the merit that you said that, I'm going to give you two mitzvot that are connected to the past and the future. The afar of the sotah, what does it do? It determines what she did in the past. And efer apara, the ashes of the para, what does it do? It purifies the person going forward in the future. So he says, it's midah keneged midah. Avraham Avinu played down his past and his future. I'm going to give you two mitzvot that are actually going to resolve what the past is and what the future is. Fine. So we see already that this afar of the para aduma, of the afar sotah, already was from the times of the zechut of Avraham. Fine. We're almost ready, Rabotai. Oh. So now the she'ela is like this. Now we begin. That's the story. And then she drinks. Oh, let's just finish the story. Then she drinks. Now, if she's innocent, it'll be a serum. It'll bring a blessing to her. She was already humiliated enough. These waters will go in and bring beracha. In the event that she's not innocent, so the Torah says over here some serious things. The Torah says that her legs are going to buckle and her stomach is going to expand, swell. And the Torah refers to these waters as Mayim Ham'arerim, the cursed waters. Mayim Ham'arerim, there's a curse in these waters. One of our members asked me the following question. He said, we know that the lady drinks the sotah. Do men drink the waters of sotah? I answered initially, it's a man's world. Men don't have to drink the waters of the sotah. Ladies have to drink the waters. He said, why not? Why isn't it? Or maybe is there a case in the Torah that we could find that men also drink? The trivia question. So I searched, and to my surprise, I actually found it. I found it over here in the book of Shemot. In the book of Shemot over here, we have an incredible story. Listen to the story. Shemot comes down to give the Luchot. This is after Shavuot now, this time of year. Shavuot Sabbath Tammuz, he comes down with the tablets. And the Jewish people are frolicking around the Egel. Because Moshe Rabbeinu throws the tablets. And then he makes an announcement to Shevet Levi. Mi Lashem Elai, who is to God? With me. And now Moshe Rabbeinu tells Shevet Levi, go kill all the perpetrators of Hetta Egel. The problem is, how does Shevet Levi know who worshipped the Egel? So the Pasuk comes along and says, some of them, they were witnesses. The ones that they were witnesses, the witnesses testified, and they killed them right away. So there was a shotgun Betin. There was a rabbi sitting in Betin. What is coming on? That guy, Shimon, I saw him do it. Boom. Maybe she killed him on the spot. Then she says, Mitato Besayif. There were others that had testimony, witnesses, but the witnesses didn't warn them. Halakha says, if you don't warn the perpetrator, you can't kill him. Rashi says, they died in the Magifah, COVID, the plague. Like it says in the Pasuk, Vayigof. And then you had the third group. The third group, Lo Edim Velo Hatra'a. How did they die? Rashi says they died, that their stomach swelled and their legs buckled. They died like a sotah. Why? The Pasuk writes, Moshe Rabbeinu came down and he said, the ones that have witnesses, we don't need to have any process. The ones that don't have witnesses, however, we need to give them a truth serum to see if they're guilty or not. So the Pasuk says, Vayikach et ha'egel, he took the golden calf, Asher asu, Vayisrof ma'esh, he burnt the egel. He pulverized it, vayitan, he ground it, ad asher dak, until it was very fine. Vayizir al pene hamayim, he added water, sound familiar? He added water to the ashes of the parah, vayashk et pene Yisrael, and he gave them to drink. The Sifte HaKamim says, badak otam kesotot. He gave them the bedikah like a sotah. So that's a trivia question. Give me a case in history where men drank the waters of sotah, mehetah egel. But I asked a simple question. Why? Why all of a sudden at this event did they employ sotah process? So I saw a beautiful explanation by the Sifte HaKamim. Sifte HaKamim says that when we got the Ten Commandments, they were on two luchot. We read the Ten Commandments vertically. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Going down. However, the Midrash says you can read the Ten Commandments horizontally, which means 1 corresponds 6. That means Anuchi Hashem Elohecha corresponds Lo Tirtzach. And the Midrash goes along to explain how each one of the commandments on the right side is connected to its corresponding commandment on the left side. So the Midrash comes along and says, what's the second commandment? Lo yehyeh lecha Elohim acherim. Do not choose and take for yourself other gods, like het ha'egel. What's across it? Number 7, lo tenaf. Don't commit adultery. What's the way you solve the adulterous dilemma? With the waters of sotah. So therefore, when the Jews committed lo yelecha Elohim acherim, it's also solved in the same method. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu knew from the Luchot itself. He said, why did God put this on the same longitude or latitude line? Why does it run across? The explanation is because to solve it, you follow the same process. But I said a simple answer. You don't have to be so deep. On Shavuot, when we got the Torah, it was a marriage. We married God. God was the Hatan, and the Jewish people were the Kana. Our rabbis tell us that whatever happened at Har Sinai, we do at our weddings. God put a mountain above us, so we have a chuppah. And there's flowers on Har Sinai. It was all green, so we have a florist. And the Achamim say that there was lightning. That's why if you ever go to the wedding of the Ashkenazim, they have candles in order to remember the lightning. And they have the thunder. That was a mother-in-law at the wedding. The point is, everything that was done at Har Sinai, that becomes the model of a wedding. Oh, so comes the, and Hashem was the Hatan, Menasa was the Kala, and the Torah itself was the Ketuvah, a little wedding. What happens a couple of days after the wedding, all of a sudden, Klai Yisrael became Sotot. We became like a Sotah, we cheated. We went to another God, we went to in the Elohecha Israel, you just got married to me. Now already you're going in the Elohecha Israel. So it was considered adultery. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said, we have a precedent in this. Our Torah says, when you deal with a personal adultery, it's done with the waters of Sotah. When you're dealing with this situation as well, we're going to employ the same method. So I thought at first glance that this indeed is the first example in the Torah in Parashat Ki Tisa, the first example of a sotah. the first sota was written in Kitisa, and then we have Parashat Naso, the one that we just read tonight. However, the Botai, I found one even earlier. The question that I had was, everybody knows the famous Hiddush. After the sota, what's written? Nazir. And everybody says, why is the Nazir written after sota? And they say, oh, because if you see a sota blow up, Yazir atzmo min hayayin, you have to accept upon yourself a vow not to drink wine. The assumption is that she drank wine, like we said, and she got tipsy, and as a result, she lost her judgment, and therefore, the Shlomo HaMelech gives us all the problems that wine, harbe yayin oseh, and therefore, the Gemara said, learn a lesson. Learn a lesson, therefore, you shouldn't drink wine. And I was asked the question, how do you know it was over wine? Maybe she had a Diet Coke. How do we know maybe she had the whiskey. Maybe she had the beer. She should have been out. How do we know? Why did we have to wine specifically? Yazira, because of Yayin. Nazir is Yayin. Yazira, so many Yayin. And Nazir is allowed to drink whiskey. Can't have Yayin. What do they want with Yayin? So I started to think to myself. And as if we're dealing with a sota here, and already we see that there was a sota before the sota in Chetah Egel. So I said to myself, if there was a precedent to this one, maybe there was a precedent even to Chetah Egel. Maybe there's a sota that came before. So I found over here an amazing Hiddush, the Bala Turim, in this week's parasha. The Bala Turim over here is discussing what we started the shiur tonight with the Ramban. The Ramban told us that in this week's parasha, we were clearing all the tsarua, the zav, tamela nefesh. So the Ramban just said, yeah, we're getting rid of all these guys because now that we have a mishkan, we have to clear the atmosphere from all these people that are tameim. Comes the Bala Turim, and he says something beautiful. He writes, he says, where did Tum'ah come from? Where was the initial beginning of Tum'ah? Originally, there was no such thing as Tum'ah in the world. Adam HaRishon was born pristine. He lived in Gan Eden. Tum'ah only came into the world as a result of the het of Adam HaRishon. The Gemara says that after Adam HaRishon and Hava ate from the tree, they got Zuhama. And that Zuhama would manifest itself in many ways. But before the het, there was no Zuhama. After the sin would happen, God started to level curses. The first curse he gave was to the Nahash. When he cursed the Nahash, it says he got spots all over his body. The Zohar HaKadosh says those spots, if you see a snake has all the spots on his body, those spots is the source of Tum'at Tzara'at. Tzara'at came from there. After he cursed the snake, who did he curse? Hava. What was the punishment that Hava got? Tum'at would come out of a body. That's the source of Tum'at Zava and Tum'at Nida. And after he cursed Hava, he cursed Adam. And what was the curse of Adam? That he's going to die. No longer is he going to have the blessings live forever. From Adam came Tum'at Met. And therefore, the Bala Turim says, the Perasha is giving us the order of the curses that started from the times of Hayat Adam Rishon. Sabet B'nei Yisrael. That's the curse of the Nahash. That's the curse of Haba. The head of Adam Rishon. Samach. Heta Adam v'shiluach teme'im. So he says, why? שעל ידי חטאת האדם, שחטא האדם הראשון, שאכל מעץ הדעת, והנחש הטעה את האישה, לקו שלושתם, הנחש בצלעת, והאישה בזיבה, והאדם במיטה. וסתר כללתן, in the order that they got cursed, מונה אותם כאן. צרוע, והיינו הנחש, וזב, היינו האישה, ותמה לנפש, היינו האדם, שנענש במות תמות. And the pasuk says, if you look at the lashon, mezachar ve'ad nekevat tishalechu. These teme'im, it doesn't matter if they're male or female. So the Baal HaTurim says, mezachar ve'ad nekeva, kishem shenitgarshu adam v'chava v'nachash, just like they got thrown out of Gan Eden, so too. That's very nice. So he gives me an explanation why it mentions these three, why it mentions it in that order, and how it's connected to Adam and Rishon. So I said to myself, but Rabbi, you didn't answer the main question. Why is this connected to Sotah then? The next parasha after the Tzaruwa, the Zav, and the Tamei Nefesh is Sotah. So the Ramban explained to us already, we're getting rid of all the creeps. So the Sotah brought the Mamzer, get rid of him also, throw him out also. Meaning it's a continuation of the people that are undesirable. Based according to this, we can have a deep explanation. I will now present to you the first sota in history, which I believe is the source of all sotot. And will explain many of the procedures of al-parasha. Adam HaRishon is married to Hava. So you say to yourself, well, how could there be a sotah? There's only two people in the world. There's nobody else to get into trouble except the Nahash. The Nahash. Now you have to remember, the Nahash was not like you see snakes today. The Nahash was animated. He spoke. He stood. He had legs. He was charming. God says to Adam and Hava, keep away from that guy. That guy's bad news. As long as you keep away from him, everything will be fine. Adam and Rishon is learning in Gan Eden one day, and all of a sudden the snake calls Hava. Before you know it, Hava is talking to the snake. When we were young, that's what they told us. Hava was talking to the snake. When we got a little older, we started to learn Gemara. They said this was even something more. Beremez, without having to say it in B'Shem HaMefurash. The Gemara says in Shabbat, page 146, Ba Nahash al Hava Vehitil Ba Zuhama. She got the Zuhama. She didn't get the Zuhama from talking to the Nahash. She got the Zuhama from the Nahash himself. It turns out that the first Sota in history, Hava was with the Nahash. The Nahash caused this Avon. Adam and Rishon sitting and learning in Eden. All of a sudden, this whole story. So what does God say? God says to the Nahash, Yara Shamirusha, you have your legs. Lanpil Yarech. Your legs are going to buckle. And after your legs are going to buckle, your stomach now is going to swell. It's going to... Your stomach is going to hit the ground. And what are you going to eat the rest of your life? The original punishment of Sotah was actually given to the Nahash itself. And what does the Torah say? Arur ata. Exactly like it says in Aparasha when the lady drinks the waters. Mayim ham arerim. The waters that are cursed. And therefore, you see exactly the punishment that the sotah has. Lanpil yarech, the buckling of the legs. Letzbot batem, and the stomach bloating. Ve'afar tochal, and eating afar is exactly the punishment that was leveled to Nahash Kadmon. all. Furthermore, once we understand that that's the first, we answer another question. What was the tree? What did they drink? What was the food? What was the tree? Was it an apple tree? Was it an etrog tree? Was it a te'ena? The Gemara has different opinions. But one of the prominent opinions, they say, that the etz hadaat was gefen. And the snake went and took from the gefen and gave from Hava to drink from the yayin. And therefore, the Gemara says, haro'es sota bekilkula yazir atzmo min hayayin. We don't know what this sota drank, but we know what the mekor, we know what the source of all sotot are, is the story of the Nahash Kadmon. It's on page one. And therefore, since it's on page one, and that was the tikkun over there, was the head, it's a, that was the yayin, harbe yayin osa, that's what started this whole mess. So therefore, the Torah comes over and says, yazir atzmo, you have to go back and make that ultimate tikkun, says Rabbi Sarutskin. Now we understand why they tell you to take water in a cup of Heres and then add afar. Why? He says, because when the world was created, the world originally was all water. And then what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He separated the water, the tira'eh ha-yabasha, and all of a sudden now you were able to see. But all I'm saying, when you go to the sota, it wants to be miramez to sheshet yemei ma'aseh bereshit. So you see a cup of water, and all of a sudden they put dirt in the water. And you see now there's a divide between the water and the dirt. It's to bring you back to the chet of Adam Rishon and the chet of Hava. When you see that cup of water, it's to remind you that this is a result of the original primordial sin of Adam and Hava. And that's the tikkun that has to be. And therefore, the parasha is beautiful. The parasha is coming to tell us the first avon was to the Nahash, which was what? Tzarua. And after the Nahash was the curse to Hava, which is Zav. And then the curse of Adam. The curse of Adam is called Tamel Nefesh. And once we're already talking about the head of Adam and Avad the Nahash, Sotah comes right after. The Sotah comes right after. Because guess what? Add that to the list. That's part of it. The Sotah also is a result of the head of Adam and Rishon. And therefore, when we came to Matan Torah in Shavuot, what does it say? Paskazu HaMatan. We reached them, we were fully vaccinated. After the second shot, when we came to Matan Torah, finished. We were all pure. There was no more Suhama. And then we went back to commit Chita Egel. Now the Zuhama came back. What's Zuhama? The Zuhama of the Chita of Adam Rishon, of Hava. That's why God says, you got to drink the waters of the Sota now. Because that's commemorating the original sin. And the original sin was what? Then pil yarech, to cut the legs of the snake. The snake that goes on his belly. Now he eats afar. Now you went back to that sin. You went to Matanta. You went back to the sin of Hava. Go right back to the waters. Take the egel. Drink dirt. Got to eat dirt now. Just like the snake has to eat the dirt. And that's the connection that we have between these sotas. So the original sota is actually on page one, when the world was still water and afar, when it was still in that level. The lesson for us is over here, Rabotai. Today, the Torah, when it looks at the sota, it looks at it as a behemah. But I'm sorry to tell you, in today's society, this immorality is glorified. What the Torah calls Ma'aseh Behemah, what the Torah says Zuhama, what the Torah says Kliheres, embarrass her in the worst way, even if she didn't commit the actual sin, but the fact that she's secluded with the man. And today's society, unfortunately, Lo Aleinu Velo Aleichem, that becomes the way. And that's where we have to go back to the Midrash. The Midrash says our mothers were in Egypt around bad people, and they still remain tahor. And the proof of the pudding is the sink. God accepted their mirrors to be made the sink. and let the ladies who are living amongst good people that could not remain pure, let them go to the sink and remember the way their mothers. And therefore, we don't have an excuse to come and say, well, rather society. Society, there was no worse society of decadence and degeneracy as Mitzrayim. And still, imotenu were able to keep their purity. And therefore, at the end of time, where Borei Olam is sifting, Vishalach min ha-machane kol sarua v'chol zav v'chol tamel ha-nefesh v'chol mamlo. Now we have to recommit ourselves that we should not be part of this. And Maimonides says, and I will conclude, the only way to keep a person away from these type of sins of immorality is the study of Torah. These sins only can occupy a brain that's empty. When the brain is empty from the mood, then already it starts to wander and starts to get into trouble. But if a mind is occupied with the study of Torah and the learning, then already, and that's why the longest parasha of Sotah, the long, they come and say that the antidote against all this avirot that we mentioned, study Torah, the Talmud Torah, keneged kulam yiratzon, we should be zocheh to have the purity and the kedusha and the tahara, and then be'azat Hashem, where the Olam will finally bring us redemption in our time. Amen.